Welcome to the Unbound Healing Podcast. I'm Anne-Marie Garland, nutritional therapist and health coach at Grassfed Salsa. And with me is my co-host, Michelle Hoover, certified nutritional therapy practitioner and writer of everything you'll find at Unbound Wellness. Here we share everything about overcoming health challenges from autoimmunity to hormone imbalance and more, with holistic living, mindset shifts, practical tips, and a real food paleo approach. Remember our disclaimer, the content within this podcast is intended to provide general information and is not to be substituted for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get on with the show.
All right, here we are.
We're here. In real time.
In mostly real time. Yeah, this is the first time that we are recording together back again since before Christmas.
Yeah, since the baby came.
It feels like an eternity, doesn't it? It must feel like forever for you.
It doesn't feel like forever for me. It feels like no time for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really crazy. The saying is that the days are long and the weeks are short or something like that.
Yeah.
When you're a mom, but honestly, my days go by so freaking fast. So it doesn't really like compute for me. I think mostly because I'm like dozing most of the day. Like we don't get full stretches of sleep. So we'll get like an hour here and an hour there. And it's just like my days, I feel like I'm sleeping all the time and not getting any sleep at all. It's crazy.
It has to be crazy. You look great though.
Thank you.
It's funny from all of the, you know, all the time from before you were pregnant, from when you were pregnant, from after you had the baby, you've looked exactly the same. Like it does not, I feel like when I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to look like crazy, but you look great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was pretty easy, I guess, after the first trimester settled down.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So updates. Gosh. Yeah. Do you want to share any updates? You've been sharing some cool stuff on Instagram.
Yeah. So I had pretty much taken a break all of 2017 from social media and even almost from my blog. I was just feeling very uninspired. I kept thinking I was in a like burnout phase. But honestly, I think it was just like, I was dealing with so much personally. Like at the beginning of the year, I'd had a miscarriage. And then I pretty quickly after that got pregnant again and then was really sick. And it was more just like, there were so many other factors in my life aside from food that I either had to focus on or that like, just to maintain my health and to improve my health. And yet I wasn't talking about any of them. And I didn't really know how to talk about any of them. I didn't think anybody would be interested in hearing about it. And so kind of on a whim, I was meeting with one of my friends who's also in this sort of industry. And she's like, yeah, people are still interested in like all-encompassing health, like aside from food, which for some reason to me just, I had no idea that people would be interested in that. She's like, start talking about like the fact that like why you take baths and what you use for skincare products and all these things. And so I reached out on Instagram to see if people would be interested in that. And suddenly I feel like motivated and inspired to share. And so I'm just really excited about everything forthcoming.
That is exciting. Yeah. Yeah. People totally care.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, I don't know why it didn't occur to me that people would care about that. And I did like a poll to see if on Instagram to see if people would be interested in me continuing talking about these things. And for the most part, people, said that they were interested and wanted to hear more. I received a few that were like, yes, I'm very interested in this, but it seems so overwhelming. And I get that. It's like we can change our food and it seems so easy. And I think that's because our entire lives, we are aware of the fact that like dieting is a thing and you can always change your diet. You can always try something new. But the thought of changing like to from conventional products to cleaner products for your house and for your skin and your makeup and everything, it just seems so overwhelming because nobody ever talks about how to go about that. And it's something that you and I have talked about a lot in some of our relevant podcast episodes about, like, don't try to do everything at once, just go slowly. But anyway, I got that question a lot. So that's just going to be something that I cover is sort of like, what's a good process to go about this in a slow way to make it manageable and not overwhelming?
Yeah, that's really important because I feel the same way that people can think, okay, I have to change my diet and my entire lifestyle. But
right,
to walk people through it, I think it's really, really, you know, practical. And I'm excited to start reading as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I started with baths, because I'm like, a bath is, so if you missed all of this, I have a blog post on my website for a detox bath. It's two different recipes for how to do a detox bath. And for me, it's just like, this is an easy thing that these ingredients, most people probably have them in their house. Some of them are a little funky, but it's like five ingredients and they're just really simple. And I feel like most people can take a bath and
enjoy
that. And it doesn't seem overwhelming. It almost seems like a self-care activity.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. These are all self-care activities for sure. Cool. Like,
what about you?
Wow. A lot's been going on. I feel like it's been a year since Christmas, but I guess right now what I'm doing, just working a lot on putting content out on the blog and trying to figure out kind of my next moves as far as thinking about, you know, writing another ebook, trying to figure out what I want that to be. My main goal within the next couple of years is I want to write a book, like write a cookbook. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really wanting to do like a recipe ebook just because I feel like I put so much recipes out online anyway. It would be hard for me to delineate what is in ebook versus what's on the blog versus what I want to put in a cookbook someday. So my ebook now, it's like a gut healing guide. So it's a guide and a meal plan. So I'm thinking of doing something like that again, but I got a lot of ideas swirling around, but the reason I'm bringing this up here is 100%. If you have any requests or ideas or thoughts, I'm all ears and I love hearing, you know, people's feedback of, you know, what would be really cool if you did X or something like that. I'm 100% down for hearing that. But yeah, I've been working really hard on putting out new recipes on the blog. I got a new camera. Working really hard on, you know, just continuing to step up my food photography game, my recipe development game, my badminton game, I don't know, but yeah, all that stuff. So yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, should we get into, oh, what are you loving lately? Whose turn is it?
My turn? Who the heck's turn is it? I am loving getting my new camera and figuring out just kind of like a new skill. I think that's such an amazing exercise for the brain. You know, just brain health is important too. You know, continuing to just train your brain to do new things. And I feel like so often we can get stuck in a pattern of like, this is what I'm good at. This is what I know. This is what I'm going to keep doing, but I'm not necessarily, I was never really good at photography. It's just something that I'm trying to continue to learn. So I still have a Canon T6 Rebel, and I decided to step up my game just because my main business, what I make income off of is recipe development and food photography. So I was like, I need to, you know, writing content on the blog and all that stuff. I need to, you know, continue to up my game, just continue to keep learning. So I got a Canon Mark III. I got it used and I'm just learning how to use it. I am reading lots of things, watching lots of videos, practicing a lot. And yeah, I think it's great learning a new skill.
Yeah, I agree. That's very important to find new hobbies and just for overall satisfaction. Like we were talking about, like, health is a variety of different things, and being satisfied in your life and content is definitely part of that.
100%. So we have lots of questions in our spreadsheet now. We got a little backed up just since we batched so many recipes. Episodes, you see where my brain's at right now. We batched so many episodes before Christmas, and we had some plenty of questions come in. So we're going to be doing a Q&A today, and we're going to start with Sally. Want me to read it?
Sure.
So Sally says, I've been following you for a while and have done a few different rounds of the autoimmune protocol. My disease is undiagnosed, but I tested positive for ANA cells. A full round of labs and symptom review doesn't indicate any particular autoimmune disease for now. Fun, right? My symptoms are primarily respiratory. My questions are there any safe immune boosting supplements and or foods for people with autoimmune diseases? I'm also wondering to what extent I should follow AIP if I'm possibly a ticking time bomb for an autoimmune disease. I don't need to live in the elimination phase, right? So Sally, you touched on so many questions that so many people have. I swear, I've gotten the question of immune boosting supplements and the question of should I do AIP preventatively, I swear like 10 times in my inbox and my DMs in the past couple days. So many people are feeling the same way that you are right now. And I think it's always really important to know that you're not alone. So your first question, First off, I'm sorry that you don't have a firm diagnosis right now. I know it's frustrating. I hope that you eventually do move into getting more answers, but it's great that you're already in this community and already learning from these things. That means you're a lot of steps ahead, even though it may not feel that way. So the first question, are there any safe immune boosting supplements for people with autoimmune disease? So it's a good question. A lot of people have been asking me that, especially since I had a hybrid of a cold flu type thing this weekend. And I talked about it a little bit, but it's not necessarily the approach that we want to be taking with autoimmune disease. So what autoimmune disease is, it's an overactive immune system, not a weak immune system. If you are having these autoimmune reactions, it's debated that it means that your immune system is strong, it's just confused. So what you need to be doing is calming your immune system down rather than revving it up. So things like echinacea, adaptogenic herbs, like a lot of these things that are immune boosting for some people, not for everybody. Some people do fine with that when they have an autoimmune disease. They can take those things short term, but it can be counterintuitive and could push you into a flare. For me, I was taking a supplement recently from a doctor who I was taking it and I was not feeling well on it. I was feeling like I was getting heart palpitations, and that's one of my first signs for like a Hashimoto's flare. And I looked at the back of it and I realized there was an immune stimulant in it, and I stopped taking it and I started feeling better. So it can be pretty counterintuitive to rev up your immune system when you're trying to calm it down. So you want to be focusing first and foremost on calming it down. So first, if you're working with a doctor, figuring out if there's anything that is causing that inflammation, what is causing your immune system to rev up? So there could be a couple of different things here. So number one, where you're already looking is food. Food is one of the easiest ways to start to figure out inflammation, because we put food into our body multiple times a day, and it goes into the gut, which is a huge source of, you know, inflammation, systematic imbalance. So if we figure out if there is any inflammation from food, it could make a huge difference. So that brings up your question of, should I be following AIP? Should I be living in the elimination phase? I don't think that anybody should have to live in the elimination phase. I don't, Anne doesn't. It's about eliminating, healing, and then reintroducing. So following a round of AIP, whether that be for 30 days, 60 days, something like that, just allowing yourself to go through that round to do some healing, really focusing on healing while you're doing it, and then reintroducing, that will help you figure out, okay, these are the foods that are not working with me. These are the things that spike up those respiratory symptoms that make my ANA numbers look worse. Figuring out what works for you and what doesn't. So I don't think there technically may not be any harm in doing one round of the autoimmune protocol, but then moving into reintroductions, I think is, a necessary step. Next, with inflammation, things that could be causing it, just lifestyle factors, which, Anne talked about a little bit already, that, all of those other things of health are so important. And I mean, we only have a short paragraph for you, of what your whole life is. So I don't know kind of like what else is going on in your life, what else could be going on with your mindset, health, all that stuff. But I think for sure, making sure that you're doing what you can to reduce stress, making sure that your mindset is in check, not telling yourself like, oh, I'm just going to get an autoimmune disease. You may or may not, it's really important to just keep that mindset in check. And then any infections, anything like that, if you're working with a doctor one-on-one, doing something like a stool test or figuring out if you have Epstein-Barr or parasites, something, some sort of underlying infection or parasite, something like that, that could be causing inflammation, those could all be good things to look for. So generally supporting a healthy immune system. Again, not everybody wants to jump on to these immune revving supplements. Some people do fine with them. I'm not saying that it's 100% no for everybody. I would never say that, but if you're just generally trying to support a healthy immune system, nutrient dense diet and sleep. Sleep is so huge with your immune system, with your health. Zinc is so important for allowing the body to heal properly. Zinc is a really important part of gut healing protocols because that's what actually allows the tissue and the body to heal. So that's really important. Vitamin A, vitamin D. Vitamin D is so important for a healthy immune system. But yeah, I would think about all of this as looking at what is causing the inflammation rather than revving up the immune system.
I agree. One thing that you said at the end was about that you feel like you're a ticking time bomb for autoimmune disease. Now, the thing is, even though you haven't been diagnosed for one, if you are showing ANA antibodies or you were at one point, then that is indicating, in most cases, that's indicating that there is an autoimmune response happening. So you likely do have something. My question for you would be if the symptoms that you're suspecting are autoimmune related, if those have improved while you are following the elimination phase of the autoimmune protocol, and how your reintroductions from those different protocols that you've done, how those have gone for you. So did your symptoms go away on elimination and then were reintroduced when you started reintroducing all of your foods? Because that's going to indicate like how extreme you need to be with your diet based on how many foods you were able to reintroduce successfully before those symptoms returned. And that's the biggest thing. Like in my autoimmune online program, I get questions every single time for probably every single person in there saying, okay, I have this factor and this factor. How do I know how long I need to be on the elimination phase? And the thing with that is like you do the elimination phase until your symptoms go away, because otherwise you aren't going to be able to reintroduce foods and know which one's triggering your autoimmunity, because your autoimmunity is still, your symptoms are still there. So you won't, I mean, it may exasperate a symptom that's already there, but it's going to be a lot harder to tell if you haven't kind of like calmed things down for the most part. So I would recommend going back on AIP if you are still having symptoms at this point, if, you know, your last round of reintroductions didn't, you know, maybe they triggered your symptoms to come up again. So another round of the elimination phase, get all of your symptoms to go down, and then start reintroducing. So just like Michelle said, you do not need to be on elimination phase forever, and you shouldn't be, but we need to figure out what foods are triggering your autoimmunity so you can avoid those. And that's the biggest thing when it comes to like all of the lifestyle factors, all of the things that you have in control of developing new autoimmune diseases. I mean, it's like 70% of that is going to be lifestyle factors. It's going to be things within your control. Only 30% of autoimmunity is genetic. And some of those things are out of your control, like the infections, again, that Michelle was talking about, but so much of it is within your control. And so if you can focus on those lifestyle factors and then also focus on the diet that makes you feel your best, so your version of the autoimmune protocol, which is what Michelle and I both follow, is our own versions of the protocol. We've both reintroduced successfully certain foods that are originally eliminated. And so if you can just focus on that, then that should get you feeling your best. And if it doesn't, if you've never, let's say you followed the autoimmune protocol for months and months, the elimination phase, and never had any of your symptoms decrease in severity, then at that point, it's really time to find a practitioner who can start testing you for those underlying infections, other reasons why you may not be improving. So let's move on to Kristen's question. I have gained some weight due to hormone imbalances, Hashimoto's, adrenal problems, stress, gut infections, parasites, etc. I found out I have mold toxicity that I'm working on, and I'm sure metal after a bit. Do you know what that means? Metal? Heavy metals?
Heavy metals, yeah. Okay.
So I want to lose the weight, though. Is this impossible? Considering keto with some carbs, but no, it's not good long term. I was thinking for 2 to 3 weeks. I'm feeling hopeless about it. What do you recommend?
Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Because I read this email and I was like, I have so much, you know, empathy for what you're going through, because I know how hard that is as somebody that has Hashimoto's. And I just would feel sometimes like I just had no control over my body. You know, with all the hormone imbalance, it's like, okay, well, the hormones are determining what my body looks like. So I have no control over what my body looks like, but you do. So I'm sorry that you're dealing with all this. I know how much it sucks. Weight gain in your situation, which, you know, is both imbalance. So the gut infections, the hormones, the adrenals, the Hashimoto's, the stress, all this stuff is just imbalance in your body. And it's also protective, though, especially the mold toxicity. Fat comes onto our body when it is trying to protect us from toxins. So a lot of the time people will gain weight really rapidly if they have heavy metal toxicity that comes on, and a lot of the times with mold. So if you're living in a house with mold and you all of a sudden just start rapidly gaining weight, that's your body trying to protect you. So look at that extra weight gain not as something of, oh my goodness, like my body's just failing me. It's that it's imbalanced from all of this stuff that's going on, and it could potentially be protective weight as well. So if you want to lose this weight and keep it off, it's about healing and not losing the weight only, not just doing things, okay, what are these weight loss strategies? It's about addressing the entire thing. So you have to start addressing the causes, and that should be your first priority. If it's a short term, like 2 to 3 week kind of fix, you're not really going to get anywhere with long term. So where do you start with that? I know that that sounds really just overwhelming. What are some action steps that you can start taking? First, it sounds like you're probably working with a doctor, especially if you know that you have mold toxicity and all of these other things. So that's really important, working with a doctor to make sure that you're on the right path. But some things to talk to them about. First and foremost, before I recommend to everybody, before they even start thinking about keto or super low carb, high fat, just controlling your blood sugar, addressing your blood sugar with a normal, balanced diet makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference for, yes, quote unquote, weight, but your hormones, your adrenals, the Hashimoto's, like all of this stuff is so tied to your blood sugar. So before you even get into any of that stuff, go back to the episode that we did about blood sugar, where we talk all about how you can start taking the steps to balance your blood sugar, why this actually matters. When I work with people one-on-one, people usually come to me for Hashimoto's, for gut issues, for some sort of chronic illness. And the majority of people, the number one burden that they have is blood sugar. And I start talking to them about, okay, do you feel jittery? Are you like frequently running to the bathroom? Are you feeling hangry and this? And they're like, oh yeah, all of their worst symptoms are tied to blood sugar. So many people are dealing with this, and it's really behind so much of what you're dealing with. That's number one. Then inflammatory foods and healing foods, removing those foods that are causing added inflammation. We don't really know how you're eating currently. You talked about keto, but I don't know if you're currently eating any foods that are inflammatory. Again, there are a lot of people that feel like they're on a diet that is fairly anti-inflammatory. When I was in this situation where my Hashimoto's was just kind of raging and I couldn't get a good handle on it, I was still eating corn and oats and nightshades and things that really bothered me. But I thought, oh, I'm not eating gluten, so I'm eating an anti-inflammatory diet. Not necessarily. So really look at the foods that you're eating. Like, okay, what in here could be causing added inflammation? And then adding in those healing nutrient-dense foods always goes a long way. Sleep and stress, obviously both huge. We talk about those a lot, that sleep is really important. Managing your stress levels are really important. So those are all some steps that you can start to take towards healing. But yes, working with the doctor one-on-one to make sure that you're on a healing path to address all of the things that you have, because everybody's healing protocol is going to look a little bit different. If you have estrogen dominance versus low estrogen, like your like what you're going to be doing is going to look completely different. What stage of adrenal exhaustion you're in, where your thyroid is at, it's all going to look different. And working one-on-one with somebody where they can look at your numbers, they can look at what's going on, is going to have the best impact on your healing journey long-term. As far as 2 to 3 weeks of keto, so I have never done a ketogenic diet. I'm not 120% against them or anything. It's not my jam personally. However, I am very familiar with ketogenic diets. I am familiar with what they do. I do believe that they're really beneficial to a lot of people, but 2 to 3 weeks on a keto diet really wouldn't be super practical or beneficial doing it in this case. So just doing a quick one, it's really not like a, you know, any of these other diets. It takes time to start healing results, to start seeing those healing results, and it wouldn't really be enough time to heal. Most people, when they do a ketogenic diet, the first 2 to 3 weeks, they're still in that keto flu state to where their body is adjusting. So it really wouldn't even be enough time for your body to adjust. But first and foremost, before, if you know, you were my client, I would say before we head towards something keto, let's just make sure that your blood sugar is balanced in a normal state before we head into something like that. Somebody who's a good resource on this, and again, I am not pro or anti keto for everybody. I think it could be a good tool for some people. Just a good person to look up on this is Shawn Miner. So her name is spelt S-H-A-W-N
MYNAR, and she has a show called Keto for Women and a program that focuses all on doing keto for healing and getting into a ketogenic state safely. So her program, it's like a 6-week program before you really even get into ketosis. So if you're interested in that, she's a really good resource, and I haven't listened a ton to her podcast, but she talks a lot about, you know, just getting into a balanced state, which, and she actually healed from mold toxicity. But it's really important at this point to not do something super extreme. If you have some sort of toxicity, definitely working with a doctor. And this is somebody who just went through a mercury detox state, is that it can be really dangerous to detox things. And especially if you go into keto, a lot of the times it forces your body to detox. So it may not necessarily be the safest thing to do. Again, that's a person by person basis. But when I had more metals in me, I had to get everything approved through my doctor, because the last thing that you want to do is start throwing these metals around, throwing the mold around, because not to be extreme, but people do get really bad side effects from throwing these metals around, from doing detox protocols that are not watched over by a doctor when they have really bad toxic loads. So yeah, working with a doctor would be really important for that. Going back to blood sugar.
Yes. And I want to kind of piggyback on that, what you were talking about there with not just DIYing your own like detoxification of something like mold or heavy metals. And that's a lot of what I'm going to be talking about on social media and on my blog with this detox series that I'm talking about. But there's something that a lot of people will do, which is they'll add something that helps to mobilize the toxins within their body, but then they don't have anything that's going to chelate those toxins, which is to bind with them and eliminate them. And so if you're just mobilizing toxins, it's just going to make you feel really terrible. And then they're going to go and resettle back into your cells. So it's not ever going to be helping. So an example of this would be if somebody were to just use Epsom salts in their bath, that's a mobilizer. So that's going to mobilize toxins, and they may feel worse than if they used a chelating agent and a mobilizing agent together. So that's why you want to make sure that you're doing these things appropriately so that you aren't doing more damage than you realize. But another thing would also be like, how well do you actually detoxify? Do you have an MTHFR SNP? I mean, there are so many different factors, which is why it's really important to either like educate yourself on this or find a practitioner who is educated that can guide you through the process. Starting at the beginning, I also empathize with this a lot. I've been there. I literally feel like this is kind of was my breaking point in my own personal health journey, was sort of a similar experience to you, is a lot of weight gain and just having so many different factors that were going into why I was unhealthy and how overwhelming that was. But I agree with Michelle. Restricting calories or following some new overly restrictive diet, it's not going to get you anywhere. And I did that for 3, 4, 5 years after mine initially kind of flared up. And yeah, it was never enough. I always had to try to find some new diet, some new protocol, something that would fix me, in quotes there, until I actually figured out the root of my issues and started tackling those one by one through supplementation, through working with someone, through lifestyle factors. The stress of those restrictive protocols that I was putting myself on that had nothing to do with my lifestyle or any of these underlying reasons were actually just contributing to making all of my symptoms worse. I think it definitely contributed to making my POTS symptoms and adrenal fatigue worse. So with that, I would say a few things that you can do would be to reduce the exposure you have to new toxins, since it sounds like your body is pretty burdened right now. So if you can get out of the environment that was moldy, that you feel like your mold toxicity came from, whether that's an apartment you're living in or a office environment that you're working in, wherever you feel like that mold toxicity came from. And there are tests that you can do. There are mold inspectors that you can do if you don't know where it came from. It could also be a previous place that you lived in, and it's just sort of followed you around, because that's the really crappy thing about mold is it will, anything that is porous, that mold will get into. And unless you clean it really well with like a HEPA filter, so your sofa, yeah, for example, if you aren't cleaning your sofa, moving from one moldy environment into a clean one, you're not cleaning that with a HEPA environment or a HEPA filter vacuum, then you're likely just bringing that mold with you. Same with clothes,
books. What I've heard is just like impossible. Like you just got to throw them out. So
yeah, wooden furniture.
It's a serious thing.
It really is. And unfortunately, more and more of the built environment is becoming mold toxic, because it's truly an epidemic at this point because of the building methods. I mean, I feel like anybody who's a long-term listener knows I have an interior design degree, and the way we are building environments and the speed in which we are building the buildings that we're living in is not helpful by any means in reducing mold exposure. So reducing your exposure to new toxins. So that would be mold. You can also focus on environmental factors that are very easy to swap out. So for example, it could be like your candles. Candles are not, when I'm telling somebody to swap something out, the first thing I would tell them to swap out is something that's not necessary to your life. So a facial cleaner may be necessary to your life. A candle is not necessary. So throw that candle away and replace it with a beeswax candle, which actually can help purify the air. Something that's not fragranced. If it is, maybe use essential oil fragrances, but fragrance itself on the label is not going to be good. Cleaning products, getting some really high quality air filters. You can also have your air ducts cleaned in your house or apartment. If you're in an apartment, the apartment complex will likely do that for you if you tell them that you are sensitive to allergens. So you can ask them to cover it. If you own your house, it's ridiculously cheap to get your air ducts cleaned. I want to say for our house, it was like around $100, totally worth it. So I would suggest doing something like that. You could bring in lots of plants to help clean the air. Skincare, beauty, focusing on like cleaning your mindset. I know that sounds crazy, but the mind is just so powerful in what it's capable of doing. And so really trying to focus on positivity and not dwelling on your illnesses and your symptoms. And then, of course, there's food and water. And then at the end there, it would just be mobilizing and chelating those stored toxins. Again, if you feel like you know how to do that properly, or you have somebody that's able to work with you. So there are a variety of different detox strategies. You can follow along. I'll be going through some that are a little bit less invasive, a little bit easier to handle. That'll be it.
Awesome.
Oh, and also I wanted to say, anytime you're working with something like this, something this big and daunting and overwhelming, where you said you had, let's see here, adrenal, Hashimoto's, hormone, stress, gut, parasite, there's so many different factors there. Mm-hmm. I really recommend simultaneously working on adrenal support protocol, because it is very, very likely that that's also an issue. And that could also be a reason why you're not feeling better if you are implementing the right strategies, but you're leaving that component out.
For sure.
Okay.
Well, Katie's last question.
Yeah. So Katie's starts hers with a quote. It says, "Help, I've been glutened." And then she says, "That is what I imagine the episode of the podcast would be if you answer my question. Hi, ladies. First of all, I'm loving the podcast. It's become my first choice to listen to, and everything else feels like a letdown after my weekly Unbound Healing Fix." That's so sweet. Thank
That's
you.
That's how I feel about my favorite murder.
I don't have a podcast that I feel that way about. I need to find one.
I mean, I love this one, obviously, but I live it. Thank you, Katie.
Yes, thank you.
I'm making this about me. Okay, go
okay.
On.
Moving on. I've been building up to embarking on an autoimmune protocol to suss out my food intolerances and began getting to the root of my how do you say that?
Vitiligo.
And other issues. I can't wait to go full AIP in the new year. And I feel like I've gotten enough practice at being semi-AIP to be successful on the protocol. Yay. However, I kind of overdid it on non-AIP foods during the holidays. And in some perverse last hurrah before going full AIP, I found myself feeling super sick. TMI, I mean, our whole world is about gut healing, so everything is TMI. But I've found myself constipated for the first time ever. Yikes. I won't be doing that again. My question is, what are some of your favorite gut-friendly, crunchy AIP ways to feel better fast after you've had a bad reaction or get sick? Do you follow the detox protocols like you've covered in the Candida episode? I'm worried about how to deal when I get to the reintroduction phase of AIP or when I come down with a cold this winter. Should I just sip some bone broth and hope things get better soon? Thank you so much. I hope you both enjoy your holidays. Obviously, it's a little behind on this one.
I did say that we haven't recorded in a minute. Do you want to start?
Sure. So my first thing would be if you have your last hurrah, or let's say you're on the protocol and you slip up or you get cross-contamination or something. First thing, do not stress about it. The worst thing you can do is to, because we've talked here so many times, probably in every single episode, about the importance of managing your stress when it comes to your autoimmunity. And so the worst thing you can do is feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to trigger a flare, and then your stress, you know, you work yourself up and then that does trigger a flare. So just don't stress about it. Take whatever comes, you know, whatever comes is going to come no matter what. So think positively, try to manifest a positive outcome, and don't stress about it. Do whatever you can to not stress about it. So the next thing would be to realize that, let's say it wasn't a cross-contamination issue. Let's say it's in your, like what your case was, which was a last hurrah, and now you're regretting it. So instead of regretting it, just think that you made a conscious decision to indulge in foods off protocol, and you can choose to get back on track whenever you want. You don't have to feel like, oh my God, I feel so guilty because I did this and now I have like to make up for it, or I have to be super extreme or whatever. It's just like, okay, I made a choice. This doesn't define me. This doesn't mean that I'm a bad person or that I have no willpower or anything like that. It just means that I can make a different choice tomorrow. I can make a different choice for dinner. I mean, it doesn't even have to be like, okay, I'm going to wait and then restart everything next week. If that's what you want, then do that. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be like, well, my week is ruined because I went out to happy hour on Monday. It's like, no, then go home and eat a healthy dinner and make different choices tomorrow. So take accountability for it, but don't guilt yourself about it. So then when it comes to reintros, I think you said you hadn't already been on AIP and you're just worried about like what happens if the cross-contamination happens or you have a bad reintroduction. So the first thing to look at is if you've had a bad reintroduction, did your old symptoms come back, or was it something new and maybe a little bit more mild, but you still feel like you didn't tolerate that food well? Either way, you want to resort back to a baseline before starting any new reintroductions. So that's how that reintroduction phase happens. So resort back to a baseline. That's the process for that. And then if you have any type of like digestive issues, or you know that you've ingested gluten, or you feel like you're cross-contaminated, the things that I would recommend would be a gluten enzyme. And I think we've talked about this before, but there's a supplement that you can find. There are a variety of different supplements that you can find for helping to digest gluten. So it's a gluten enzyme and it's just a pill form. You can take it. I take it pretty much every time I eat out just for risk of cross contamination. However, you do not need to take it that consistently. You can wait until after you feel like maybe you have been glutened in quotes and take it then. You can also take charcoal, which is going back to detoxification. Charcoal is one of those chelating agents. So that's going to bind to those toxins and help remove them from your body. Charcoal will also bind to vitamins and minerals. So you don't want to take that unnecessarily. So again, this is going to be only in the instance that you know something has occurred. And then you can also try a variety of other detoxification strategies aside from food. So again, going back to those detox baths on my blog, you can look into something like that. And I know Michelle has a few ideas as well.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I agree. If I get glutened or something, usually my worst problem is if I get nightshaded or like corned. Or soyed. For me, these are all such non-words. For me, I don't always react as badly to gluten if I just get a one-time thing. Obviously, that's way different for Anne because she's on the celiac spectrum and I'm just not. I can do okay getting glutened and really not, especially if it's high quality gluten, like if it's in Italy, I don't really notice if it happens to me once. But I do charcoal immediately right after I take some, if I have something like nightshades or corn or soy or something like that. I always carry charcoal with me in my purse. I've had it explode many times and cause many sad days. So make sure that you have a good container, airtight for that. I always have charcoal on me and I take it if I know that I got some sort of cross-contamination. I totally agree. Do not take it every time that you eat out because it will bind to nutrients. So if you go and eat a really nutrient-dense meal and then take charcoal, you're not really doing yourself any favors. It's only if you start to feel bad and you know that you probably ate something. So I do that immediately. And I drink tons of water. And that is the first line of defense, drinking tons of water. Charcoal, that really helps flush things out. And it may not make things 100%, but it takes off a lot of the edge. Then following up, I agree with not stressing about it, just kind of moving past it is really important. It's something that I heard recently on a podcast. It was kind of off topic. It was somebody who, she said that she had basically flunked out of college and her dad was coming to pick her up and she was all upset. And he said, 100 years from now, nobody's going to remember this. So nobody's going to care. And that's the kind of thing that I like to remind myself sometimes when something's going really bad. Like a week from now, I'm not even going to think about this. And it's going to be hard right now, but I just got to push through it. And nobody's going to care. I'm not going to care. Like, think about, there's probably been so many things in your life and there's been so many things in mine that I've just freaked out about and lost sleep over and thought it was going to be the end of the world. And I can't even remember half of them. So it's going to be a hard moment, but don't beat yourself up over it mentally, because mentally beating yourself up, it has way more repercussions long term than eating gluten once, because it changes how your brain works and how you see yourself and how you think. So freaking out about something can be a lot worse than just dealing with the repercussions. Then following up, after I do the charcoal in the water and just kind of chill out and move past it, is I make sure that I get bone broth. Yeah, I usually have frozen bones in my freezer that I can pull out and make some bone broth. That does help. Probiotics is huge for me. I find that I do really well with Saccharomyces boulardii.
that is a beneficial yeast. So some people don't do well with that, but usually I take that and it does a world of difference for me. Glutamine, that is another one that I like to have on hand. There's something from Biotics, which is the supplement company that NTPs work with, that's called Gastrozyme, and it's a gut reparative type supplement. They have another one that's called IPS. I have those on hand that if I ever need any support, those help me as well. And if I'm really bad, if I'm really not recovering, I'll do a castor oil pack. That will definitely be something if I eat something that didn't agree with me, that was also was like a fatty meal, putting that over my liver, it'll really help. Or something like nightshades where it's just really bothering my gut, I'll put it over my stomach. Yeah, those are my things that I would say help, but everybody's different. Everybody has other tips and tricks. So it's a good question to ask in our Facebook group as well. Mm-hmm. I'm sure other people have more ideas.
One thing I wanted to clarify real quick. So we both just called it charcoal, and just in case somebody's not familiar, it's activated charcoal and it comes in a supplement form. So it's not something that you have to go eat some charcoal or anything like that.
And it's really easy to find. People always ask me what brand. I'm like, whatever I find it. It's like Walgreens. It charcoal's charcoal. Mm-hmm. It's not really, it's one ingredient. So what's your meal of the week?
My meal of the week is pretty much, well, I've been making breakfast soup a lot. It's not really that big of a meal. What James and I are going to do tonight is I am working on a cheese sauce, a cheese, not non-dairy cheese sauce. And we are going to make some AIP cheeseburger nachos. So hopefully that cheese sauce comes out well today.
That sounds
awesome. If it all goes good, it'll end up on the blog at some point, the cheese sauce and the cheeseburger nachos.
That sounds great.
Yeah. We just have, we use my avocado, cilantro, mayo on it. And then elk, I have elk thawing. So for the burger part, and then the cheese sauce, plantain chips, green onions, more cilantro, and that's pretty much it. Pretty simple.
Rad.
I might saute some onions, but probably not.
Cool. Well, that was it for this week. It's nice to be back. You guys, we appreciate all of your feedback, all of your messages. It may take
and
us
your
a while
reviews.
To get back to things. Yeah, it may take us a while to get back to things. Obviously, we're reading things that say, you know, talking about the holidays, but we appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your questions, your reviews for sure. We have some new ones that they just make me smile so much. I'm sure they make you too, man. The reviews in iTunes, those are super valuable to us, just our hearts, and then for people finding the podcast. So we're so grateful for those. It takes just a couple minutes to do that, and it's really helpful. So we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Unbound Healing Podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. Until next time, you can find more from me, Anne, at grassfedsalsa.com, and more from Michelle at unboundwellness.com. We'll see you next week. Bye.